I know why Peter said, come, let us build three tabernacles. You know, there are some places where you just want to be. This is one such a place. Now we have a problem here. How many tabernacles are we going to build? Hallelujah. I don't know what God wants to do here today, but he wants to bless somebody. And we have quite a long distance to go, but we'll take it easy. Velo, what did you call it? Velo what? You know, I saw Velo City when you told me, but I had Velo Town in my head. So I went to the dictionary to look for Velo Town. Then you called me again to say it's what? It's not a town. It's a what? It's a city. And I won't try to define Velo City. I will just tell you what I think about it. Then I'm going to use images from the writings of a man that the Bible referred to as a man after God's heart to teach Velo City. Velocity of an object, the way I look at it, is the rate at which it changes position with respect to a frame of reference and the function of time. Did you hear me? This object changes position from one place to another. And we must time it. There must be a measurement. Before we can say velocity, speed must be measurable. Do you agree with me? Speed can only be measurable if there are scales of preferences. Number one, there must be a starting point. And number two, there must be an ending point. So we can measure speed between point A, which is a starting point, and point B, where we are heading. If there is no starting point and there is no ending point, then speed may not be measured. Did you hear me? How physics correct that is, I don't know. How biology correct it is, I don't know. But as far as literature is concerned, I've just given you my definition for velocity. And by this, I mean, this matter, whatever the matter is starting from this point and is going to that point, and we can therefore measure that it's moving at 60 kilometers per hour or more. I heard that Ronaldo bought the newest Bugatti. I don't want to buy the car, I just want to drive it. You know, there are some cars, when you put your leg on the accelerator, boom, the car goes forward, but the seat pulls you backward. Anybody ever driven a car like that? There's a lot of power behind the engine. But that power can propel the car, but we need to know where the car is going. So if we really, really want to do justice to velocity, the projectile must travel on a straight course. The projectile must do what? Travel on a straight course. Because unless it does that, if it goes this way and go the way and go this way and go that way, we won't be able to measure the distance covered. I studied English, and I'm tracking it like a student of English. But let me quickly tell you one of my major maxims that has helped me the greatest in life. When you go to Oshodi, or wherever you guys go here, there are only two kinds of people on earth. How many? Only two. I'm hoping that we have only one of the two present in this room right now. But as human beings are, when you have up to 10 to 20 people, the two will be present. In any gathering, you have these two kinds of people. Can I define them? There are those who are going somewhere and those who are just walking. In this room right now, there are what? Those who are going somewhere and those who are just walking. These two sets of people have some things in common. Because walking produces sweat. If you're going somewhere, walking will produce sweat. And if you're just walking, walking will still produce sweat. Which means, I need to redefine the two people. In this room right now, are people sweating for purpose and people just sweating? They may have a lot of things in common, my brother. They walk, they sweat, they have all common problems, but they differ in a major place. Those who are going somewhere arrive. Those who are just walking can't stop. Because if you're going somewhere, when you get there, what happens? You stop. You arrive. But if you're just walking, you can't stop. You are just walking. For the past 30 years, I've tried not to just walk. I want to know when to stop. And you will never know when to stop if you have no clear idea of where you're going. Let me say to somebody, you won't ever know when to stop unless you have a clear idea of where you're going. So you may think that velocity is your idea as your thematic preoccupation for this convention, but I think you're borrowing from the heart of God. God thinks velocity. If God does not think velocity, why will he use this language that I'm going to show you through the mouth of the psalmist in Psalm 127? Psalm 127. And I feel like a father, I think I have a right so to do. And we're talking to our children. If it's true, say I. So we must talk with passion to our children to tell them who they really are to us and who they are to God. Psalm 127, he said, behold, what? Read with me, behold, children are, from verse 3, Psalm 127, 3 to 5, behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. No, let's not hurry. Children are what? Forget heritage. It is just a big word that can confuse us. Children are therefore a gift. But does he give children to everybody? No, so the Bible is saying children are a reward. You will have to forgive me for this. Because I need to ask, what is God rewarding? Stand up, my brother. It's my brother, it's your pastor, but it's my brother. And if I ask him to stand up, he won't be annoyed. So don't be annoyed on his behalf. When God gave you your children, he was giving you a gift. But the Bible later says, it's not something God just gave. Bambinos don't occur unless God wants them to. Let me simplify it. Children don't come unless the Lord approves. Some people, they rape, bambino come. Some people, they do cornucopia, bambino come. Some people, they do cornicide, bambino come. And you may say it's a bambino that is unwanted. It's you who don't want the bambino. The bambino is a gift. How many gifts do we have here now? How many gifts can say, I am a gift from God? To who? Now you made a mistake, not to your parents, to the world. Your parents are the channel via which gifts come into the world. When you were inside God, you are God's. When you went into your mama, you belong to God. When you came out into the world and people were celebrating, you see God's. There's no point in time when you stop belonging to Him. You are His. How many gifts here? Who is the owner of the gift? Let's see gift. Joy, let's look at it closely. Who is the owner of the gift? This is my purse. Please give it back to me. This just to practice matter. Now, when I hold my purse, who is the owner? When I give it to him, who is the owner? I still am the owner. Think well. Think well. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Because whenever you talk of this gift, how will you describe this purse to your wife? So who is the owner? It never stopped being mine. It carries with me. And when it is with him, it's still mine. When he's using it, he's using that, which is what? Mine. He knows it. I know it. That is why the giver is always larger than the receiver. The giver loses nothing, for what he has given is still his. Are you with me? So when God gives you a gift, it's God's. So that's why God says it's a reward. And we're not looking, if it's a reward, what is God rewarding? I won't take your time. But one day, God was going to Sodom to destroy Sodom. You know what he said? He went to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I cannot do what I want to do without letting you know about it. Why? He said, because I know my servant Abraham, that he will bring forth his children in the ways of the Lord. God giving Isaac to Abraham was rewarding the knowledge of Abraham that he possesses. He's saying, I can give this gift unto Abraham because I know Abraham. He will keep my gift. He will develop my gift like I want it. And he will enable my gift to do my will. Parents fail their children. And that is bad enough. But they fail God more. Because each child is a gift from God over which God is watching. And when you don't bring that child up right, it means God made a mistake trusting you. He has rewarded somebody who is not worthy of the reward. That is what it means. God says, I trust my friend Abraham. He will bring forth his children. Why does it matter? Why does it matter whether Abraham bring up forth his children right or not? Because the will of God for Abraham transcends Abraham. You have a son? Stand. Oh, Jomi. We do sons. Don't. What do we do? What do we do?
Sons.
We're incapable of it. And this one is working with me now. If you are not careful, thou shalt do sons. Now, each of them entrusted to you, God is watching how you handle them. Because the will of God for your life cannot be finished by you in your lifetime. Check, boy. The will of God for your lifetime is too small to finish it. So God needs an extension from you to go ahead of you to finish the will that he has for you. And that extension are your children. Are you with me? That is why he said, like, they are arrows. You know, arrows are sent to where you cannot get. Is that not so? So you live to be, I think 96 would be a good time for your husband to die. Have you? 96. Yeah, feel like, oh my Lord. When you terminate at 96, there are still things designed for you unfinished. Land still to be covered. And all in the plan of God. And so God is looking at your children. They are the extension of yourself into that part of his will that you, because of the nature of man, can't reach. So Abraham dwelt where Abraham can dwell. And then he didn't dream of Egypt, did he? And Isaac dwelt where he could dwell. But Jacob took Israel to Egypt. When it was Abraham, he was alone with his wife. By the time they came out of Egypt, they were a nation. And God said unto Abraham, out of thee shall be. He didn't see nations, he saw only a few sons. But the nations being promised is ahead. And like arrows, he shot Isaac. And Isaac shot Jacob. And Jacob shot Reuben and Madam Congo and Madam Congo. All of them 12, he shot, and we have the nation of Israel. Is that all? Even those offside matches that Abraham played, all of them became nations, some of them troubling Israel today. You may be seated. Are we there? Why am I beating this point? It doesn't matter what anybody has told you before. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. And it doesn't matter that you are like me, scoring zero in mathematics. Whatever is the report now, and whatever mistakes you have made in times past, you are a gift. You can speak in tongues for a few minutes and begin to soak in the anointing of God that is in the air. If you can praise him, say something to the Father and enjoy the warm liquid grace of fire that is flowing above your head. Let the anointing reach you, let it touch you, let it soak you, let it go to the center of your being and start to do a work of correction. As today we stand against every negative word that has been spoken into your life, we stand against every negative utterance that is warring with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we stand against every negative inheritances. We stand against whatever is inimical to the will of God for your life. Let a new oil begin to touch your head. Let there be a flowing touching your inner man. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Are we here? Still, Psalm 127, this is where we're going to spend a lot of time. We may allude to some others. Because he's telling us what I've just told you. He said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Did you see that? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. They are children of one's youth. Now, my best image for velocity are arrows. And the Bible just said to us, what? Children are what?
Arrows.
So since I made bold to call you guys gifts, I hope you won't be angry with me when I call you what? Because unless you are arrows, then you can't fulfill purpose. He said, children are arrows. Now, when you read this, you will think, like you thought earlier on, that there are arrows in the quiver of their fathers. Abi? Well, let me show you another scripture where one arrow was talking. Let's see Isaiah 49. One arrow was talking from verse 1. He said, listen, O coastland, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. Anybody identify with that? Anybody think the Lord has called you from the womb? Okay, follow me. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. Anybody identify with that one too? Now if you identify with the two, listen to this one. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. And in the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. He has made me a polished shaft, which is arrow. In his quiver, he has hidden me. Who is now the owner of the arrow? Are you getting it? He hid me where? In his quiver. God is the owner of the arrow. You know, I said something there. I said, do you identify? When he said, from the matrix of my mother, he called me. Anybody identify with that? No. When I finish this, maybe you will identify more. You know, God said something to Jeremiah, the son of Ilkiah. Anybody remember that verse? What did he say? He said, Jeremiah, what's your name? I like the way you sing. The anointing of God is upon your head. Stand. And it will increase. It will increase. When you open your mouth, the oil will flow.
Amen.
Rivers will touch barren places.
Amen.
And great things will happen.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Are you listening? Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I did what? I knew you. Now, that is not logical. Show logical. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb. That means before whatever happens. Before conception, I knew you. Okay, Lord, since I was yet to be conceived, what did you know? Anybody ever question that? Let's question it together. What can God know since I didn't exist? But God is saying, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I preordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before I formed you, when your daddy was still doing farming and your mommy was still selling something in the market, before they met on the way to the river, that would be good for Nollywood, isn't it? I knew you. So God, what did you know? There's no way we will know what God knows unless we go to another place. You want to take a journey with me? To a place called Shiloh. You know what happened in Shiloh? In Shiloh, Hannah went. Huh? And Anna was in a troubled state. What was her trouble? She had no arrow. What was she lacking? She had no gift. But then, when Anna was having a problem, God was having a problem too. Are you here? Did I just say God had a problem?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible for God to have problems? Yes. God does have problems when men fail. When a man that is suspected to do a duty fails, God has a problem of looking for a stone instead. And the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. So God was having a problem sitting in the thrones of heaven. He was looking at the seat of priesthood in Shiloh. He was looking at Eli. And he was saying to himself, according to the times of life, Eli is about to expire. Where will I get a replacement? Ophni, drunkard. Phinehas, adulterer. Both of them unfit for holiness. Can't be used for purity. They are vessels in the hands of the Lord, but they are ignoble vessels. Are you listening? Where will I get a noble vessel? Where will I get a noble vessel? God was searching. Whenever God is searching, may he find you.
Yeah.
He was searching. And as he was searching, a weeny, teeny woman came into Shiloh with tears in her eyes. Tell me her name. And God, what? This, I'm looking for a prophet, not a woman. But then the woman started to say some strange things. She said, Lord, Lord, I need a boy. I don't even want to keep him. Just give me a boy. If you give me a boy, I give my boy back to you. That sounds like good business to God. Because what was he looking for? He was looking for a boy. A man to fill the seat in Shiloh. So God shook the hand of the woman. Deal? Deal. I give you your son. You give me my prophet. Can God therefore not say to Samuel, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So we want to try to answer the question now. What did God know? God knew a need. 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 And since the world can never lack in needs, you are here to meet one of them. You didn't get me. Peter, you didn't get me. The world will never lack for needs. Because the Muslims will always be Muslims and they will always be Boko Haram. We need a prophet. Buhari is inept. I think the next one will be more inept. We need leaders. Those who have money stole it. We need honest money. The world has needs. Hey, friends, if you travel, you will know that crying about your little pains is being chicken. People have pains you can't imagine. I've been to some places. Boy, people have pains you can't imagine. Some of us, has anybody complained about the good yam we had today? If anybody complains, send them to India. Let them try Somali. Then you will know that they are human beings on earth, where an entire family will sit around the piece of yam you ate today and they will call it a miracle. Do some missions. And if needs continue to arise, God will need to keep on giving gifts. Are you linking it? Are you linking it? Inasmuch as there are needs, there must be gifts from heaven. And what are gifts? What are gifts? What are arrows? Children. And since you are somebody's child, you are therefore a what? A gift and? And like we read in Isaiah 49, you are not an arrow. Of course, you live in number 6769 Oyemekun Street, perhaps. And you call somebody your father. I am Wole Owolabi to you. But in all honesty, I'm Oluwole Jehovah. My father happens to be the channel that brought me into the world, a gift from God unto mankind. That is why I'm here today, and you will be blessed. Yeah. Are we together? So now we are arriving at the point where we have located the arrow. Who is the arrow? Touch one arrow. But my sister, listen to me. In case you don't know, arrows are never born as arrows. They come into the world as woods, and they are made into arrows. So between the time of your birth, I can put this down, and the time God will shoot you, there must be a making. There must be a making. Any artist here? You paint? Nobody. Oh, you paint. How many sculptors here? Either woodwork or stone? Your generation is too full of data things and internet things. Let me ask another question. Anybody here ever ridden a horse before? You know you don't do it. You know what you do now? You sit and you browse. And you get fat. And your head gets dull. Now, I'm not being... This is happening, really. We go out. We experience life. You imagine it. But if you are a sculptor, and I can teach you this, there are many times you start to work on wood, and the wood is not taking the form you want. You discard, Abby. The same way you are making an arrow. A good maker will not discard until that arrow has proven unfit for shooting. Because there are some qualities of a good arrow. You want to hear the qualities of a good arrow? I listed 7, I'll tell you only 2. Only 2. So that we can pressure time and go on. Number 1, it must be straight. It must be what? Anybody know why the arrow must be straight? Because it's supposed to pierce through distance, wind, and be able to hit a particular target, an object at the other end. It must be straight. Anybody tried shooting an arrow before? No. Except it is that one is not arrow. I mean, take the bow, pull the thing, target and release. You don't do such? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'll be traveling to the U.S. very soon. You know, one of the things I look forward to is the season of deer hunting. You know, there's a season where they hunt deer. And you can hunt with a gun or hunt with a... And it's a very nice thing to see that deer there. Anybody like deer meat? You know what I mean? Could they look by anything? You watch the thing from afar. You pull your bow, you target. 1 second it was standing. Next one is on the floor. Because you hit it. You hit it. But the arrow you use must be what? Straight. Straight. What does straight say to you as a Christian? Straight as a symbol. The arrow must be what? Straight. So when we are carving it, when we're cutting away the edges, when we're cutting off all the rough things, scraping the arrow off, we're doing all that. It's not for the benefit of the man doing it. It's for the benefit of the arrow. Because if you're not straight, you will never arrive. Tell me when to stop. Because I want us to take breaks so that we can think and talk to ourselves. I have been young. My gray beard are announcing that I'm no longer young. Am I still young? Any young man with this must have painted it. This one has seen 60 moons and many, many Christmases. And I've seen people overtake people. I have folks, my friend, who hides when some of us are coming. When at now we reckon to man for jukwama, Olorun ma je ka deni eyin. When you're coming, my old mates gather together, they have this forum, and one of them met me and said they want me to join. So I was asking, what of so-so person? He's there. What's he doing now? Principal of so-so school. What of so-so person? He's there. What's he doing now? Is the clinic concerned it? What of so-so person? He's a surgeon. What of so-so person? Then you ask, what of so-so person? He didn't join. You guys didn't get in touch with him. Say, I went to his house 6 times. I gave him many invitations. He didn't come. Why? Wally, you know, things are not. May you not be that person. Yeah. And I took time to study. The crooked arrow never arrived. Say that. Say it again. Say it again. They don't. Because when the arrow is pointing this way, how can you ever get it to go that way? So the good arrow must be straight. Must be straight. Number two, there are many things I can tell you about the arrow, but I'm pointing only at two. Let me mention that it must be sharp so that it can penetrate. That is not what, I don't want to talk too much about that. It must be of the right weight. If it's too heavy, it won't go far. Sister, you know what is so bad about being an arrow? You are too heavy, you can't go far. You are too light, the wind will carry you. When I was studying this, preparing for this, I said, wow, God, only you can make the right arrow. Because this weight thing, Brother Peter, this weight thing matters. They say if the thing is too light, you know, the wind is blowing, it can go straight. The wind will move it. If it's too heavy, you can push it. So there is a right weight. And this right weight, only the one shooting the arrow knows. And how can he make you, Peter? How can God make you the right weight? Do you have a Bible? By introducing you to the Bible, he's trying to make you the right weight so that he can shoot you and you can arrive. Eddie, it's okay. Hey, Joko, Oluwa me rock on you. I don't know. Oh, everybody was speaking like this. They are thinking. Maybe some are confessing their sins secretly. I've been crooked. Yes, you are crooked, but you will leave this place straight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Because he specializes in making crooked arrows straight. He knows how to do it. But you know the bad part? He won't shoot you until you are ready to be shot. Because, let me tell you something about our Father. When he shoots, he wants to hit his target. And you know, when you see a bowman hit his target, it is the dynamics of the right arrow and the skill of the bowman. God is skillful. Let the arrow not spoil his aim. The arrow. We'll still talk about the target. We'll still talk about the bowman. But now what are we talking about?
The arrow.
The arrow. And who is the arrow? I promise myself I won't talk about the sins people commit. All of you know what sins you commit. Per man per sin. Say that. Say it. Oh boy. You know, if you tell me what your own be, you go deal with that. I did deal with my own. Everybody getting own copy. But the thing we concern all of us, we must not forget it. Now if we say, you know straight, they no go shoot you. So go deal with your peculiar copy of sin. Go and deal with your own personal copy of misdemeanors. Go deal with your own issues. Because if you don't, you have only a lifetime. When death comes, if you have not been shot, you shall be discarded. Hey, there's a scripture that scares me. You want to hear it? Can I share it with you? Come, my singing son. He said, arise. What? Shine. For what? Say it loud. Say it loud. I don't have a problem with the light. I have a problem with the fact that it is your light. It's your light. You can't shine by anybody else's light. But when your light come, you better shine. Because if the light has come, the light is going somewhere. And those who make success of life are the people who are ready to shine when their light come. And when the light is going, come with me, they go with their light. They go with their light. Shining brighter and brighter and brighter until they expire. May your light not go and leave you behind.
Yeah.
And may you not miss the time of his shining.
Yeah.
So before my light come, what can I do? Joko, maso, but magba elite mu first soy, magba special offering. Because it's what? It's rema. To somebody who is listening, you will understand it. Look at my shoe. It's what? Black. In the dark, what color? Can you see it? When there's no light, you can't see it. It can't shine if there's no light. My shoe cannot shine if there's no light. And my shoe cannot shine if its light come and it is dirty. If I've been through the gutter and all of the fokofoko of Lagos are clinging to my shoe, it won't matter when there is darkness. Shegba Yoba. Alaki san joloru boya ile amolola egbo. Egbo Yoba. Mashala here for you. Alaki san joloru. So when it is dark, the man dressed in rag at a party element, want all this sick light. Akuashu eti ya sokoto eti ya loru. Everybody long bese bese loru. But she le oni money. Even go oh moto ti toast kile to moto gba ti o mo Pakistan. Mo ti tan na to ni oloye.
So what do you do when it is dark? You want to hear what the wise man would do when it is dark? The wise man will take his shoe and he'll be polishing it. And everybody will think he's foolish. Why is he polishing it? But he's a wise man. He's polishing his light. Each time you polish your shoe, you are saying to God, I believe my light is coming. You are exercising hope. You are exercising faith. You're polishing it. I'm polishing it. I'm polishing it. Those who are stupid, they'll be saying, or dead. Who is the other when the light comes? So you polish it, and then the light comes. And the light shines. Because you can't shine, you can only reflect light. Shining is reflecting light. Light comes from God. And if you are not a reflector, thou shalt reflect nothing. Can we go on? Are we not talking about the arrow? Can I stop for a few, when we finish with the arrow, we'll pray the arrow prayer. But I want to tell you something about the arrow. I've told you many things about it. I said I would say two, but I've emphasized only one. Which one? It must be straight. But I said it must be sharp. You are sharp people, Abby. You know what sharp means? Don't you know? Sharp is correct concordability. You know? Egbo? Somebody went to a psychologist. He said, I think I have inferiority complex. Okay, before we can treat your inferiority complex, primary school, did you do well? He said, no. Okay, secondary school, F9. Did you play soccer? No. Table tennis? No. Badminton? No. Jump? Never pass. He said, you are not having inferiority complex. You are inferior. Don't be inferior. Touch your head. And just greet it. Say, good head. Me, Nico, bad draft. You're only telling us his name. It's what? It's a good head. Ọpọlọpẹ àbí ẹ sọ bẹ́ẹ̀ kí ń gbọ́ pé ọgbọ́n ń bẹ́ sharp so that when the opportunity comes you penetrate it. Success is opportunity meeting with preparedness. Be sharp. I spoke about the weight. I said, don't be too heavy and don't be too light. I spoke about what else? Do you know anybody ever seen? I just want to talk about that one. When you have an arrow, they put a few feathers to the back of them like that. Anybody know what it does? It balances the arrow in the air. You need some balancers. I am one of the feathers in this arrow's balancing his flight. I hope I'm doing the same for you. Some of us did it for you.
Yes, sir.
And I know you are doing it for many. Balancers. Balancers. Oh, my two men. I want you to enjoy your shaking it to man fair shaking. Kini buruku yen. To ba ni balancer, o le frustrate. So I've almost told you everything I said. I won't talk about the arrow. But the important one I want to talk about again. You know, at the base of the arrow is a groove. That groove. Oni kindake. Maka soke. Won't you was of mini koko? I olufufu fe gbo nto so.
Are you listening to me? There's that groove at the base of the arrow. It must fit into the string. Hey, that is classic. It must do what? Fit into that string. It must not be too loose so that there will be a firm push. It must not be too tight so that it won't cling when it wants to be released. But it must fit into that. When you have the string here, you pull it like this, the groove at the base of the arrow must be such that it can accommodate the string and receive a push. The string is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And that groove is your relationship with Him. Unless it is fine, you can't fly. So are you feeling now? Are you feeling like an arrow? Are you sharp?
Yes, sir.
Those who are not sharp didn't answer. Are you sharp?
Yes, sir.
Are you straight?
Yes, sir.
Are you grooved?
No.
Are you rightly fitting into that string? Because before flight can take place, there must be a push. There must be what? Let's give that push another name. Let's call it a launching device. The device that launches the projectile. The harrow now is being called another name. What name? The projectile. It must be launched. Pe ba be yan lowo ko nse good launching pad. Some people will say, I would have been able to fly because it's only because my daddy didn't have money. Your daddy having money might even be a reason you don't fly. People blame their background. Well, your background has very little to do with it. Are you listening? I know a man. He drank so much ogogoro, they call him Gosko Jin in his area. Kinmoniwankwe? Gosko Jin. The man staggers and falls into gutter, and his wife has to pick him up. This is a true story. Gosko Jin had two boys. How many boys? Gosko Jin and his two boys. One of them grew up to be successful. Doesn't even drink Coke. Water. Very successful. The other one became Gosko Jin too. Can drink anything. But when they were asked the same question, they gave the same answer. And they were both wrong. The successful one was visited and said, how come you became like this, having a father like yours? He said, it is because of my father that I am like this. Did you hear that? They went to the one who became Gosko Jin too. You have a father like that and you are like this. How did this happen? He said, it's because of my father that I became like this. They are both wrong. One saw his father and he saw what not to become. The other saw his father and he saw a mother. The one who decided not to be like his father took a decision. And the one who became like his father took what? A decision. What you see now is the sum total of the decisions you have taken in your life up to now. So it's about you. There must be a launching pad. There must be a launching pad. And it's not money, and it's not education, and it's not your background, the best launching pad is the one who sent you as a gift into this world. Do you know why? Is the one who knows what the target is. Is the one who knows where the target is. Nobody else knows what direction to shoot you to. Kusentomo, kino niko law and school. There were. Kino sociologists. Sociology no come in law. Agbadology law. Olandeng Gori is okay. Babade mwe, thinking that he's the one who will shoot the arrow. He shot you into sociology. Abi? But God is shooting you into ministry. God took him away from banking. Are they lie? And threw him into pastoring. The one who really can shoot that arrow is the one who knows where the target is. So for an arrow that does not have a link with the bowman, I'm about to conclude. Conclude it with me. If you be an arrow and you have no link with the bowman, Egbo? It's tragic, but I will tell you. When an arrow has no link with the bowman, it ends as a potential. Koyeyi? Chomokpe? What is painful, more painful than death, is when potentials are not maximized. Oremi akori. Everybody. Can you imagine when he was 5? At 5 years old, he's showing signs of intelligence. Are you with me? Otima A, B, C, D, Bogwe, Otinke, A for Apu, and what else? And you look at him when he's singing A for Apu, and you say, this boy has got potential. Abi? But then, it is the 16th birthday. And you see, you can still see intelligence. But then you ask, what are you doing now? I'm still at home. You got potential. At 21, you're still at home. You got potential. At 30, still at home. You got what? Because you never stop having potential. But God has not sent you here to have potential. He has given you potential to actuate. The potential should lead you to something. If at 30 it is potential, it is decaying potential. There are people at 40, all they have is potential. Potential at 60 is dead potential. And it can be so. A man can keep his potential for as long as he has no link with the launching pad. Maybe seated. Honestly, look around. You will see them everywhere. We had a meeting in Goshen. And I was there. And you know, let me teach you one of my maxims again. Anybody know that you don't need to gloss up something that has quality? Look at, stand up, my sister. No gloss. Tell them what you do.
I'm a physician.
You're not going doctor.
But
a circle a year while you are what?
I'm a doctor.
Of how many years?
About 20 years now.
Shorter. A doctor, a successful, please put your hand together for my sister. A successful doctor of 20 years. Pancake Oshio. You pa gloss oka. Ele yo kin shishe lipstick o. Pelu foundation.
she can afford.
I was coming here. My son said, Daddy, you're talking to youth. So he changed what I was coming in. Want to change Yashomile Metalin? Shaman, you. Mom, Daddy, take it off. Okay.
Muni kilo de.
So finally, he arrived at this. He said, at least you are managing to look a bit youthful. All right. Then as I was going, he asked me, Daddy, why don't you care? He said, because the quality is in me. If you do not have the anointing of God in your underpants when you wake up in the morning, you will not have it in a three-piece suit. You won't. When it is cheap, it's when you need to gloss it up. When it is not cheap, it needs no gloss. Huh? To ba ti ri omo boy. E sa nu omo boy o. Te ba ri omo boy to nkun lipstick. Ko ni degree ni. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. But why do you want to? You've done your masters, you've done your thing, you're good, a good head, and you have a purse that is in cooperation with your heart. May your purse and your heart not be on the war path. Any tea purse, bamba heart, wala lunio. Serious problem. He likes everything, but he has no purse power. But when you have good purse power and your purse is in good relationship with your heart, you don't need to gloss up. No, a little perfume here and there to cover the odor. Abi, wash your mouth regularly so you won't look like the keyboard, black and white. Be neat, be presentable. But the quality of the man is in the man. I saw a man in the USA. You know what he did? He barbered his head. And he now, why your dollars be? Oh, they broke. So, one of the sons of a friend. So he came home and neatly, and the dollar was there. So we were going. When will you start to spend? It's when you don't have it that you flaunt emptiness. Good quality women don't paint up. So we had this program in Goshen. And people were inside. And this fine boy connection was outside. You know, what did I call him? He stood this way, in front of Goshen. Nice haircut. His beard, making him look like Jack Sparrow. Was there. His perfume greeted me long before I got to him. So I followed my nose. When I got there, hello, how are you doing? Why are you inside? I said, I'm waiting for somebody. Young man. And I felt in my heart, wasted life. I said, what do you do? He said, he's doing clinical psychology in UI. I said, for how long? He said he's been there. This is his second year. He said doing it. I don't know. It's a 16th month. He's doing his master's. Okay. So he should be my wife's mate. Do you know Mrs. Owolabi? No, I don't know everybody. There are only 33 of them in class. I know all of them because I take my wife there. So the guy was lying. Fine boy, lying. Ingba Tomokwe, clinical psychology, where is she? Oh, she said, O-level mathematics. Kole qualify. Because he didn't qualify. And he wanted to look the part, he was lying to me. So I felt I should dress him down a bit. I know almost everybody in that class. Then he started to dance against Jeffrey Daniel. You can't know everybody. But I do. You can't. But all of them are doing their clinicals now. Where are you doing yours? Then I ended my sermon. You need Jesus. They lie. They gloss up when they lack quality. They don't. Mercedes, engineered like no other car. That's all. But when the woo came, from 0 to 60 kilometers in clinic a second, you need to say, because it's cheap, we need to gloss it up. May you not be glossed. May you possess the quality in the within. Are we together? One gift, raise your hand. One arrow, raise your hand. What are the qualities necessary? You must be straight. Number two, you must be sharp. You must be of the right weight. You must be grooved to perfection, fitting in well onto the launching pad. Shall we bow our hearts to pray? Just want you to pray. Just pray on your own. How many people believe, Lord, I need some work done on me? Anybody like that? Just stand up where you are. I'm not asking you what the work is. Just stand up to God and say, Father, I notice I have some defects. To Basila Arinwa, if you're not one of us, you can sit down. But every arrow here that has an idea, there's a defect here. Let us begin to talk to God. It's a little defect. Dear Father, if you shoot me now, I probably won't arrive. I think it is time you talk to God about those defects. Those silly, silly little things that you know can inhibit flight.